Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I'll get to the DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, and how DOGE could be used by Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy to go after these sanctuary cities that are going to attempt to defy President Trump's mass deportation plans once he gets back into office to start getting rid of these criminal illegal aliens in America. We'll get to that here later this hour of the show. We'll get back to your phone calls here in about a half an hour or so as well. Plenty of time to take your calls later this hour and in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. And then in the 9 o'clock hour today, actually, Attorney General Austin Knutson is a last minute addition. He's got a big story he's going to tell us about here. Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour of the show, he'll kick things off for just the first few minutes, and then Stacy Zinn, the former head of the DEA here in Montana, is going to talk about this the sentencing following that big Breaking Bad style meth bust on the Crow Reservation. We'll get to that in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. But of course, it is Monday. Every Monday, we get back to business with the Big Sky Business Journal. Evelyn Pyburn, great to have you on the show this morning. It looks like we've got several candidates of good news to start the show with here this morning. Where do you want to start?
Well, this is obviously the beginning of the Christmas shopping season, so we would be amiss if we didn't talk about that. Forbes magazine says that Christmas shopping has actually begun earlier this year. And they say it is being driven by a growing appetite for holiday joy. People are tired of being down in the dumps, I guess. Businesses are launching their campaigns earlier than usual, which I don't think is a surprise to anybody. American consumers are expected to spend more than $1 trillion on Christmas this year. Americans will spend an average of $942 each. And $57 more than last year. The downside of that is that shoppers are taking on more debt to do that. According to research, 37% of global shoppers say they're using their credit cards more, and 32% report using alternative credit services like Buy Now, Pay Later. 43% of consumers are carrying more debt now compared to 2023. So this is an even greater negative development here. And this isn't unique to any one income bracket. Consumers across all levels of incomes are tapping into their credit lines more than they were a year ago. So that's the good news.
Interesting.
And bad news.
Yeah. Well, and then I think last week we kind of hinted at this, too, that more people are choosing to do in-person shopping. So a good opportunity for people to buy local and support local as they enter the big holiday shopping week here. Gal, I was at Scheels, a couple weekends ago. And, I'm lucky I live about right down the street from the big Scheels. But, man, it was so packed in there. I'm like, I'll wait till Monday to come back and shop myself. But, yeah, stand by.
Securing America.
Incoming Trump National Security Advisor, Florida Congressman Michael Waltz, appeared on Fox News Sunday, where he said that he and Biden administration National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan are on the same page.
For our adversaries out there that think this is a time of opportunity, that they can play one administration off the other, they're wrong.
Walt says part of his national security strategy will be to try and mold the system around President Trump instead of the other way around. He also says we need to change the way we address those who take Americans hostage.
We need to start imposing costs for those that hold hostages.
And that securing the southern border is a shared responsibility.
The cartels need to be on notice. Mexico and our partners have to take some ownership here.
Walt says the war in Ukraine needs to come to a responsible end as soon as possible. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
This is House Call for Health. November is National Epilepsy Awareness Month. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention describing it as a brain disorder that causes repeated seizures. The seizure is a change in normal brain activity that can last a few seconds to a few minutes. And there are many different types of seizures. The CDC says people with the disorder can live full lives because many do well with treatment. However, for many, it can be challenging. Signs of a seizure depend on what kind it is. Someone suffering a seizure might seem confused, stare into space, wander, make unusual movements, or be unable to answer questions. The Epilepsy Foundation says 1 in 10 people will have a seizure, and 1 in 26 will develop epilepsy during their lifetime. There are about 3.4 million Americans living with epilepsy. Nearly 500,000 of them are children. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
It's your last chance. Menards 11% rebate ends soon. Wrap up those big projects before the holidays. Weatherproof in style with new Mastercraft exterior doors. Customize your kitchen with Clearview cabinetry. It's time to pick up those new appliances or start your big garage project. Don't miss out. The 11% rebate ends Thanksgiving. Stores closed Thanksgiving Day. 11% mail-in rebate is a merchandise credit check. Good on future in-store purchases. See Menards.com for details.
Save big money at Menards.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, jumping back into it here with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal. Several headlines to talk about. I've got my print edition. Not only do I have the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet in front of me, but I've also got the print edition of the Big Sky Business Journal. You can get it sent to your mailbox. So many interesting headlines in here. The energy takeaways from the election. Energy takeaways. What does this mean for the oil and gas industry and other forms of energy in particular? She's got a big write-up in the Big Sky Business Journal. She also did a big write-up, Lessons Learned as an Election Worker. And she kind of told us a little bit about that. Her and her husband, you know, volunteered as election workers during the election day, but she's got a big write-up describing it in more detail you'll want to check out as well. Evelyn, what about the big news from St. Vincent Hospital? I guess it's now known as Intermountain Health, St. Vincent Regional Hospital. Just before this big news broke, I had some friends say, hey, what's going on? Are they still building that new hospital? And then, boom, the news comes out. A $1 billion hospital, St. V's, is building a new almost $1 billion hospital in Billings. So that's big news, and they're going to be building it right on the site of the current hospital, 14-floor facility in the works.
Yes, and you know, it's just going to have a huge economical impact for Billings. The medical care is already a huge industry for Billings, and the building of this hospital, I think, is just going to assure that it will continue to be that way long into the future. The hospital is expected to be completed by 2029. But it brings some immediate benefits, I believe. So they're going to be employing lots of workers, and with all of the laid off miners, I'm hoping that it will generate some job opportunities for some of them, or shifting around in the job market, so that there will be greater opportunities. The new hospital will essentially completely replace the existing facilities, some parts of which are said to be 100 years old, and the process of building it is expected to employ 600 to 700 workers on site at the project, and more than 1,200 total workers will be involved overall. And, of course, those workers, their income, their spending will ripple throughout the economy in Billings and will impact almost every aspect of our local economy. So So I certainly hope that this is, going to be positive news to counter some of our negative economic news. And it's just a super huge, exciting thing to be happening for Billings.
You know, and the whole region, frankly, as well. And then, of course, Lewistown is still undergoing a lot of, expected construction work, residential and more, with the big engineering firm moving in there and setting up shop. In fact, I've got a friend who's on active duty with the military who's thinking of retiring. And I was like, hey, man, have you thought about checking into this engineering firm in Lewistown or something like that? So if anybody out there has some ideas on, looking to hire an incredible soldier getting ready to retire from the military. I've got a friend who I went to college with who is about ready to do that transition himself. But yeah, $1 billion hospital. It's anticipated, this is according to the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet, there will be 600 to 700 workers on site and more than 1,200 total workers involved in the building project. Over the life of the project, $13.5 million could be spent on accommodations and housing, and $6 million spent in grocery stores and restaurants from the increase in the construction sector as well. So, yeah, massive project. What you said in the opening segment of the show, Evelyn, I thought was really interesting. You talked about how consumer sentiment is on the rise and how they're expecting a big holiday shopping season. That basically, you said something where people are tired of feeling like they are in the dumps. It's almost like there is this boost of enthusiasm amongst consumers post-election, just like there was a boost of sentiment amongst the business community, the small business community, after the November elections as well.
Oh, yes. I mean, I think we all have probably experienced that somewhat, whether it's just, more smiling and happy people or people just talking about what they plan to do. I really think that there was a lot of people just sitting on the sidelines with maybe some money to invest in stuff, and they were just trying to decide which way to go, and the outcome of the election is part of their process in deciding what is going to come and what will be a good investment. So it makes sense that it starts out with Christmas and having a good time, I guess.
Yeah. Well, let me do a shameless plug as well here. Look, as Evelyn talks about the fact that consumer sentiment is up, they're expecting more holiday shopping. I know there's some small business owners that are listening thinking, God, how do I get the message out to all these consumers out there? How do I tell them to come find me, come find my shop, come find our location and what we have to sell? Well, I'll tell you what. Get a hold of me, get a hold of our marketing team here at your local radio stations, and they will help you get the word out to these consumers in this renewed sense of optimism and advertise on outlets like the Big Sky Business Journal as well, so you can get your message out there so people know who you are, what you do. Back right after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
All of us learn in civics class about the checks and balances in the Constitution, except that the fourth and largest branch of the federal government, the bureaucracy, isn't mentioned in that document, and it's easily appreciated that checks on its power don't exist in the same sense. Aside from expensive lawsuits, there's little individuals and businesses can do to fight regulatory decisions. Even the Supreme Court can be overmatched by the sheer size of the regulatory apparatus it tries to rein in with its decisions. The SEC decides that financial statements must show carbon emissions. The EPA decides that your backyard pond is a navigable waterway. The FCC says that baseball is exempt from antitrust. It's the hundreds of decisions of unelected regulatory agencies that affect our daily lives more than any high-profile actions of Congress. Indeed, most laws passed in the last three decades are empty when it comes to details. And those details are filled in by, you guessed it, the regulators. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Oh, man, what an embarrassment. Who are these woke white liberals with these radical environmental groups? They think they get to lecture us about what's best for the Crow tribe as they stand in opposition to the Crow tribe. Tell you what, you have got to watch this hearing on the Crow Revenue Act in Congress. Yeah, the environmentalists just embarrassed themselves. Great back and forth, led by Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke as well. Full story, MontanaTalks.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. Mainly sunny today, early high in the mid-30s, then we'll cool into the upper 20s as a cold front works its way through. Cloudy tonight, a low near 20. On Tuesday, lots of clouds. Areas of light snow. Then we'll see some rain mixing in as we climb to a high of 42 briefly, and then drop into the mid-30s. Tuesday night, chance of seeing some snow, low 22. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordlund.
The Environmental Protection Agency is facing renewed pressure to deny applications re-registering the controversial weed killer dicamba from three of the biggest crop protection companies. Three Senate Democrats are urging the EPA to deny applications to re-register the herbicide, saying the weed killer cannot be used without causing unreasonable adverse effects. U.S. Senators Cory Booker, Bernie Sanders, and Peter Welch say that the herbicide can drift when sprayed and cause irreparable harm to human health. Re-registering the herbicide with tighter usage restrictions, as the agency has done in the past, they say has not been enough to mitigate damage from dicamba. The senators reiterated that dicamba cannot be fixed. In other news, the Farm Credit Administration recently selected Zachary Lund to serve as its deputy chief of staff. In this newly created role, Mr. Lund will support the Office of the Chief of Staff in planning, directing, and overseeing day-to-day control of operations for agency offices in accordance with the operating philosophy and policies of the Farm Credit Administration Board Chairman and CEO Vince Logan and the FCA Board, all with the goal of helping farmers and ranchers in the countryside receive funding to stay in business, expand, and look at opportunities in agriculture. I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, I just had to laugh. I was scrolling through some more news headlines there during the break. I was just seeing a few different other headlines. Some stuff that I saw last week. This one is just hysterical. Transgender lawmaker Zoe Zephyr insists being every bit as biologically female as cis women. Did you hear that, you bunch of sissies? You cisgender women. This is the dumbest terminology I think I've ever heard in all of our woke updates. It's even dumber than nibblings. Evelyn, I don't know if you've heard that, but real women are referred to as cisgender women by guys like Zoe Zephyr, who claim to be women. It's just like, my goodness. Anyway, I know we're here to talk business, but I just couldn't help resist. There's just some crazy stuff in the news, isn't there, Evelyn?
Well, yeah, I'm anticipating that she is going to make it another interesting legislative session. But I find it interesting, though, the higher profile that she gets, the more money she gets being paid to go and speak to different groups or be on TV and stuff. So it's a money-making proposition going on there. So.
Oh, yeah. Yep. You get money and fame just by, you know, being as crazy as you can possibly be. But for a biologic male, for a man to say that, oh, no, I'm just as biologically female as you are, oh, for Pete's sake. That's definitely today's oh, for Pete's sake moment. Let's see some other news headlines here. This one came out last week. It was after we did our Monday update with you. Montana has now reached the 40th consecutive month of unemployment at or below 3.4%. So 40th consecutive month of this low unemployment here in Montana, announced by Governor Greg Gianforte. You've been pulling some numbers, though, when it comes to farmers and ranchers. The outlook for agriculture, apparently, according to what is it, the Federal Reserve, there's some troubling things on the horizon, huh?
Yeah, they just came out with a report saying that in a survey of lenders that, and this is the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis, they say, the lenders say that 83% of the lenders say that farm and ranch incomes will decrease in the fourth quarter of this year, and 6% expect their incomes to increase. The outlook for farm capital spending is expected to contract, while household spending for farmers is expected to flatten. More than 60% of lenders expected loan demand to increase, more so because of the tighter incomes rather than interest rates, despite the slight cuts in interest rates over, and they point out that even though there's been a cut in interest rates, they're still at a highest level in 2 years. So, you know, I don't know. I guess I don't know for sure how accurate lenders are in predicting the farm economy, but I kind of generally think that there's some optimism in most farmers listening to them talk and stuff, but I guess we'll see.
Well, and hopefully that's something we see continue under President Trump here once he's back in office is, you know, they finally slightly lowered the interest rates here just before the elections. Yeah, we saw that one. And then, but I hopefully that we start to get these interest rates back under control with President Trump back in office as well. And, you know, and Doge, if they start reining in the spending, I mean, it's been federal government spending that's really drove up inflation. So we've got to get that in line, and then we can start to get everything else in line as well. Let's see, apprenticeship week. I know you wanted to highlight the growth in apprenticeship opportunities here in Montana. We've got about a minute to go before the Fox News update.
Well, yes, I just wanted to kind of dovetail. The governor had a recognition of Apprenticeship Week and saying that Montana is experiencing a record-breaking increase in the numbers of apprenticeships, and it is also happening nationwide. It's gone up 64% nationwide, and in Montana, there are 3,150 more Montanans enrolled as active apprenticeships at the end of September, which is an increase of 25% over the last 5 years. And 700 apprenticeships began in Montana in the first 9 months of this year, and more than 680 Montana businesses offered apprenticeships to train workers and other, which is another record high.
Yeah, so, great opportunity. Great opportunity for our trades industries and for the companies that need these jobs filled, and great opportunity for these young people to get a job in an industry. Pyburn for joining us every Monday here as we get back to business. Now the phone lines are open for you. What business do you want to attend to? Give us a call, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on our Montana Talks website as well, through the Montana Talks app is the best way to do it. We got a caller on the phone lines right now. Let's go to Dale in Columbus. Dale, great to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Well, highly disappointed that Matt Gaetz removed himself as the proponent for the attorney general position. And then Trump proposed Pam Bondi of Florida to replace him, and she scares the heck out of me. Are you aware of her position on the Second Amendment?
No, I haven't heard anything negative with regard to her on the Second Amendment in particular. What is it that's concerning to you? That's something we should look into for sure.
There are three things. First, after that shooting, was it Parkdale, whatever, she proposed increasing the age limit of possession of firearms in Florida as their attorney general from 18 to 21. She also had proposals passed against bump stocks and assault rifle type limitations. And the scariest thing is she is a proponent of red flag laws. Do you know what red flag laws are?
Yeah, well, that was one of the criticisms of Rick Scott as well, when people were supporting Rick Scott, a Florida senator, to be the Senate Majority Leader. They were like, hey, wait a minute, you know, we got to throw the flag on this one here as well. So let me see here. I just pulled something up. The National Association for Gun Rights, NAGR, they say,
as you...
Let me just read this real fast. I'll let you say something else, but let me just read what the National Association for Gun Rights says here. As you may know, Trump nominated Pam Bondi for Attorney General. Frankly, we have some serious concerns about her positions on the Second Amendment. Start with her support of red flag laws. She may say due process, but her record shows she either doesn't mean it or doesn't understand it. Anyway, yeah, go ahead, Dale.
Red flag laws allow somebody to call into the police and say, hey, I think you're crazy. And they can come in and take you for evaluation, and they can confiscate your guns at that time without any evidence or due process. They hold you for 24 hours, then release you, and then they have another 72 hours before they go to a judge and say, no, well, we're not going to give back these guns that they've taken away illegally.
Oh, yeah, without you even being convicted and sentenced,
right,
they will take away your property. Remember what happened, and we've seen this, the deep state federal bureaucracy has done this repeatedly over the years, which is what an AG needs to come in and combat. Yeah, Dale, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Thanks for getting this on our radar. We got to take a quick break here, then we'll jump back into your phone calls. But you remember there was the museum out on the Crow Reservation in Gary Owen. They confiscated his stuff. He was never even convicted.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, you bunch of sissies. Zoe Zephyr, the man who pretends to be a woman, the radical transgender lawmaker from Missoula. He's got a message for all you sissies out there. When I say sissies, cisgender women. Have you guys heard this term before? Cisgender, C-I-S. Cisgender women. Cis women. No, they're women, bro. Not this cis women nonsense. Anyway, I saw Representative Carrie Seekins Crow out of Billings. She had an Instagram post where she shared this Breitbart News headline. Breitbart News had this trans Montana lawmaker, quote, "We are every bit as biologically female as cis women." So I had to comment on Representative Carrie Seekins Crow's Instagram page. Yeah, take that, Carrie, you bunch of sissies. What a freaking joke. We are every bit as biologically female as cis women. Okay, so Zach became Zoe, first identified as Zoe, so started dressing like a woman, wearing makeup like a woman, etc., right? But Zach actually went through the full sex change procedure, actually chopped it off and detailed it on Twitter. I was like, oh man, like just describing like the surgeries that were done. I was like, oh my goodness. But here's the deal. You can chop off body parts, but you're still not biologically female. Anyway, do you guys know who the actor, the Hollywood actor James Woods is? Apparently, he's like one of the few conservatives in Hollywood. John Jackson, the Joker from X, flagged this on Twitter, flagged this on X. Apparently, James Woods, he's on X, at Real James Woods. He shared this Breitbart headline, trans Montana lawmaker. We are every bit as biologically female as cis women. You hear that, cis? All right. Now, if you got kids in the car, this is the earmuffs moment. Actually, this is kind of like one of those, you know, they got to read through the lines on this one. But anyway, you could do the earmuffs for the kids if you want to. I'll give you a little bit of time, and then I'm going to get to the phone lines here. We got Mike and Big Timber next up on the phone lines. But earmuffs moment for you here. James Woods responding to Zoe Zephyr, claiming that he is every bit as biologically female as cis women. James Woods said this on X, until you try wedging a tampon up the old anaconda. Oof. Hey, oh man, some of you are like stepped out into the cold and you really felt the bite with that one. Mike and Big Timber, next up. What's going on, Mike?
Thanks for taking my call. Was that Anaconda, Montana, or what?
That was not Anaconda, Montana. That was a different Anaconda. Okay. There. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Oh, man.
The point I wanted to make was, as you know, the president is pushing through a whole bunch of court judges' nominations and such. He already appointed one at the 11th district court, or one of the courts, and that's Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia. But the point I wanted to make was, right after you went off the air on Friday, Chuck Schumer came out and made a statement. He said, if the Republicans don't object to Biden's appointments for these judgeships and judicial appointments, he will not object to Trump's appointment of judicial appointments in the appellate court. And now, you met Schumer personally in an airport. Do you believe that that guy will keep a promise like that?
I wouldn't trust that guy. I mean, I wouldn't trust that guy for a second. That guy is a snake.
Right. And so I'm just wondering if he'll get a chance or an opportunity to push all 30 of these judicial appointments. These people are going to do everything they can before Trump takes office to make sure they carried on their their Marxist agenda. It's terrible. It really is.
Well, and the Republicans shouldn't even fall for this. I doubt they will, because if he's saying, well, okay, if you let us shove these judges across the finish line, these far left judges here at the last minute here in the last 2 months of Biden's reign in Washington, we won't oppose your judicial nominees. Well, the Republicans will have a 53-seat Senate majority. They don't need you. They shouldn't need you anyway, unless Murkowski and some of these others become, you know, big-time clowns. They shouldn't need you to get their nominees across the finish line, because they have a 53 Senate majority. So they shouldn't need you guys anyway. Now, Schumer and the Democrats could still slow down the process, just like the Republicans are doing everything they can to slow down the process right now. You know, you have to do them one at a time instead of do a whole, you know, slate of them to get them across the finish line. But that's not the only threat right now, is getting these liberal judges. Did you see the headlines about how a tester bill, liberal Senator John Tester, who just got defeated in the November elections, he has a bill called the Headwaters Legacy Act, and it passed out of the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee by one vote. Republicans all voted against it, but the Democrats stood together as a block. Look, John Tester doesn't deserve – him and his environmental wacko buddies don't deserve a little parting gift from the American people and the taxpayers to hinder our access to our public lands here in Montana. That's what John Tester's bill would do. His Headwaters Legacy Act could threaten public access here in Montana. This thing should be shut down. He lost. The big environmental groups lost. They shouldn't get a parting gift on their way out the door in Washington. Half the county commissioners in the counties that would be affected by this land grab that John Tester is pushing are opposed to this land grab Headwaters Legacy Act. So I hope the Republicans do everything they can to bring this nonsense to a halt and stop it from getting across the finish line at the last minute.
Thanks for taking my call, Aaron.
Hey, thank you, Mike. All right, I thought you might have a reaction on that one, but it sounds like you just second whatever I said. So we'll go with that.
Absolutely.
All right, I appreciate it. Yeah, and hey, again, thanks to Dale in Columbus for calling in earlier, because yeah, we also need to be questioning our own side and questioning our own nominees that we might support here as well, especially when it comes to these Second Amendment issues. So I appreciate Dale in Columbus calling in earlier. 406-294-0970. Let me see. Oh, if you guys missed the 9 o'clock hour on Friday, I've got a write-up on our Montana Talks website right now. Let me go. Okay, here is the headline. Montana taxpayers funded crazy woke agenda at teachers' conference. So I had a tipster a while back that sat in on the teachers' conference put on by the Montana Federation of Public Employees. Look, if you think this Zoe Zephyr stuff is crazy, I said it last week. I said it on Thursday. We had David Noble and Danny Reberg with us here in this 7 o'clock hour of the show. I said it. I said they are focused on the next generation. They are focused on the kids. Zoe Zephyr doesn't care that the Democrats just got their rear ends handed to them in the November elections. Zoe Zephyr is still going to keep pushing this radical transgender agenda, and they want to push it on your kids. They had an entire session where they were indoctrinating Montana school teachers on the LGBTQ plus agenda at this woke conference. And for those of you that support our friends in Israel, they had a radical left-wing activist. You remember how on the University of Montana campus you had these anti-Israel protesters and they were chanting anti-Semitic chants like from the river to the sea? The guy who led that anti-Israel protest that featured these anti-Semitic chants got to give his own little presentation to all these school teachers. Where's the Anti-Defamation League and all these others to call out the MFPE? Anyway, the best soundbite from that show Friday I'll share with you coming up after the break. Hey, we're getting into the holidays. You know, some of you, you know, you get into, you know, holiday mode, or, you know, maybe before the election you were stress eating. You started eating a lot because you were stressed out what was going to happen during the elections. And then after the elections you started celebratory eating. And then the holidays come around, and you're celebratory eating. All the way through practically the Super Bowl, you're going to be celebratory eating. I tell you what, if that's you, and you're like, holy cow, man, I just can't stop eating. Before the election, after the election, look, don't worry about the holidays. Enjoy the holidays. But here's what I want you to do. Give a phone call to Billings Last Diet. And if you want to trim those pounds off and with a program that works, get on their schedule for that first week of January or even the second week of January and sign up for Billings Last Diet. It's the program that works. BillingsLastDiet.com.
This episode is brought to you by JCPenney. The holiday season is here, and at JCPenney, everybody gets more. Like for your loved one, designer perfumes from Versace or Carolina Herrera, or the exclusive Messy fragrance. For the foodie in your life, a cast iron Dutch oven or Keurig coffee maker. Or for the kids, all the toys they love from Disney, Barbie, Lego, and more. JCPenney. Make it count. Shop in store or online.
Fox News commentary.
Jaguar is getting scorched for a new woke ad that doesn't even feature a vehicle. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
Get all of your favorite Fox News podcasts ad-free on Apple Podcasts with Fox News Podcasts Plus. From Trey Gowdy, the Fox News Rundown, Will Cain, Brian Toomey, and so much more. Go to foxnewspodcasts.com for all the details. The Fox News Rundown, a contrast of perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. Your daily dose of news twice a day. Featuring insight from top newsmakers, reporters, and Fox News contributors. Listen and subscribe now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
Car commercials are often nonsensical. Many are corny and cliche, and few entice customers to actually purchase the thing being advertised. But this latest Jaguar commercial really takes that marketing strategy to new and bizarre heights. Jaguar's marketing team clearly learned nothing from Bud Light. The car company released an ad featuring androgynous individuals in abstract outfits, hair, and makeup. And weirdly, Jaguar clearly but purposefully chose to exclude an important piece of the ad. the car. I mean, even Bud Light was smart enough to at least have a Bud Light can in the advertisement with Dylan Mulvaney. Despite the backlash and ribbing Jaguar is getting for this bizarre, woke, and carless car ad, the company is offering no apology or retraction. Whoever is in charge of their marketing department apparently believes that all press is good press. Jaguar doesn't seem to be worried about the phenomena of go woke, go broke. Best of luck. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
This is Jimmy Fallon, inviting you to join me for Fox Across America, where we'll discuss every single one of the Democrats' dumb ideas. Just kidding. It's only a three-hour show. Listen live at noon Eastern or get the podcast at foxacrossamerica.com.
Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Then get a juicy frozen grade A Kroger turkey for 49 cents a pound, limit one with a $25 additional purchase with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Studio.
The radical transgender lawmaker from Missoula called out by the popular Libs of TikTok social media account. Full story, MontanaTalks.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. Mainly sunny today, early high in the mid-30s, then we'll cool into the upper 20s as a cold front works its way through. Cloudy tonight, low near 20. On Tuesday, lots of clouds. Areas of light snow. Then we'll see some rain mixing in as we climb to a high of 42 briefly, and then drop into the mid-30s. Tuesday night, chance of seeing some snow, low 22. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
I love this song!
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's...
Ho ho! Welcome to the Make It Jingle with Kris Kringle podcast. Today we're talking to Jan from Toyota.
All about Toyota-thon.
Hi!
So, Jan, got any red Tacomas?
Yeah, we have a great selection of vehicles, including Tacomas.
After my big job, I'm taking the missus down to Florida to go surfing.
Did you say Florida? Can the elves and I go too?
Dealer inventory may vary. Current offers on these vehicles end December 2nd. Offers are subject to change throughout Toyota-thon, which ends on January 6th. See your participating Toyota dealer for details. Toyota, let's go places.
Visit izervay.com. That's izervay.com. Paid for by Estella's Pharma.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I want to talk more about this so-called Montana Headwaters Legacy Act and why it's important that Senate Republicans defeat this legislation and that, or that House Republicans block it as well, at least, through any reconciliation package or anything like that. Kerry White detailed why this Headwaters Legacy Act is so bad and why they will use it to shut down your access. It's what these what radical environmentalists always do. It sounds innocuous. Oh, it's just wild and scenic. But no, they want to shut out your access. I'm going to save that one for the 8 o'clock hour coming up because I know our friends in the Flathead and the Great Falls area are going to want to hear that as well. They join us starting at 8. We'll have phone lines open for the full 8 o'clock hour, if I'm not mistaken. But here we go. So I was interviewing Max Nelson with the Freedom Foundation. He is the one who put together this whole report about the woke, radical, left-wing agenda that the Montana Federation of Public Employees put on for the teachers' conference that took place in Bozeman last month. Here we go. Here he is outlining, just giving us the overview for those of you that missed it.
Well, it's pretty crazy stuff, Aaron. Our report highlights about 18 or 20 different sessions that were featured as part of this conference. I'll flag just a couple of them, but at kind of a high level, we found about six or seven different sessions that were specifically political in nature, that were partisan in nature. These were opportunities, again, remember, this is late October, this is right before the election, But these were opportunities for Democratic candidates for state legislature and other local candidates in Montana to come and talk to teachers and, at least according to these event descriptions, talk about their plans for the state and presumably advocate for their partisan point of view. MSPE historically endorses and backs politically with its election expenditures primarily Democratic candidates. So in this cycle, for example, of the nine candidates for federal or statewide office that MSPE endorsed, all were Democrats or Democrat-affiliated. Of the 74 state legislative candidates that MSPE endorsed, 64 of those were Democrats. So this is an extremely partisan organization. And it was providing a you know, a platform repeatedly for its preferred political parties and candidates to come in as professional development for educators and give their pitch for the vision for the state. There was another 10 or so what we would describe as ideologically woke sessions, and this really ran the whole spectrum of issues for the day. All the buzzwords, all the woke buzzwords found their way into some of, or other of these presentations. There was one focused on teaching about the Middle East. The event was billed as being presented by Montana's only high school Arabic teacher. And I don't know what was said in that particular session, but we looked up the gentleman who was presenting, outspoken, progressive, anti-Israel activist. He's described President Trump as, quote, a demon from hell. He's described Governor Gianforte as, quote, a filthy creep. He's written that patriotism is a disease and condemned America as a military colonial state. All the crazy stuff. There were presentations from the quote-unquote Extreme History Project of Bozeman, which describes itself essentially as a neo-Marxist historical activist organization, which is actively engaged in, quote, political, social, revolutionary paradigm shifts. There were presentations from academics, folks like women's studies professors, who are promoting things like, quote-unquote, diverse children's literature that featured LGBTQ+ characters and themes.
Literally, it goes on. It's so much crazy woke stuff they were trying to indoctrinate our school teachers with. Full audio, full report, MontanaTalks.com.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
All of us learn in civics class about the checks and balances in the Constitution, except that the fourth and largest branch of the federal government, the bureaucracy, isn't mentioned in that document, and it's easily appreciated that checks on its power don't exist in the same sense. Aside from expensive lawsuits, there's little individuals and businesses can do to fight regulatory decisions. Even the Supreme Court can be overmatched by the sheer size of the regulatory apparatus it tries to rein in with its decisions. The SEC decides that financial statements must show carbon emissions. The EPA decides that your backyard pond is a navigable waterway. The FCC says that baseball is exempt from antitrust. It's the hundreds of decisions of unelected regulatory agencies that affect our daily lives more than any high-profile actions of Congress. Indeed, most laws passed in the last three decades are empty when it comes to details. And those details are filled in by, you guessed it, the regulators. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.